This is episode 289 of the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I preview the offense. What should we expect out of Tanner Mangum in 2017? Which running backs and wide receivers will step up to support him? And will this be the year tight ends finally become important again? Also on the show, Mo Longhi is playing big, and the Green Bay Packers are becoming BYU North. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Find this show and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. And you can follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout or on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And you're going to listen to us right now. Matt, we took a week off and we're back.
Back in action.
Back in action, ready to roll. We've got a lot going on, so let's just hit the most important thing first, okay?
Oh,
straight out of the gate.
We all know what that is.
We have a tweet bag question, Matt.
Tweet bag.
From Randy Whittle on Facebook. He says, after getting new trailers for Thor and Justice League at Comic-Con, which one of these years I'm going to have to go to San Diego and go to this absolute massive geek fest, which are you most excited to see this fall? Matt, you haven't seen the new trailers because I don't know why.
I have not.
You live under a rock or you run all day or something.
Just not that geeky yet.
Not. We'll get you there. Matt.
I'm not geeky enough to wish I was at Comic-Con.
You're just not willing to admit it. Matt, Thor or Justice League, even though you haven't seen the new trailers?
Thor.
All right. I am more excited about Thor. Thor is fighting the Incredible Hulk in this movie. So... Though the Justice League trailer looked good, and everyone seems to be more enthusiastic about Justice League after Wonder Woman turned out to be a good movie.
See, but that's the problem. Wonder Woman turned out to be a good movie, and I think they have something there with that character and the way they've developed her. But the rest of the Justice League, the way they've set them up for that, not as good.
No, not nearly as good. But we'll see, Matt. But it's crazy to me. If you had told me 10 years ago I'd be more excited for a Thor movie than a Justice League movie, I would have told you that obviously something, I had fallen and hurt my head.
I might have slapped you in the mouth.
You might have slapped me in the mouth for even asking such a question.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't even known who Thor was.
I know who Thor is. Come on.
Did you know who Thor was before these
Yes.
Avengers movies?
Yes.
Norse God of Thunder?
Yes.
Do you remember Adventures in Babysitting when the kid was obsessed with Thor?
You take that back. You take that back what you said about Thor.
But do you remember that movie?
Adventures in Babysitting? Yeah, I remember that line. That's a famous line.
Yeah, you take that back. So
that line has actually been an integral part of my marriage.
I'm not sure how to address that. So, Matt, I think with that
when one of us says something that offends the other, we often will reply with, you take that back. You take that back what you just said about Thor.
See, you are a geek. Matt, with that lead-in, let's get into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news. Sorry, I started early there, buddy. I kind of went over your news.
Dragged it out a little bit. I got a little ahead of myself. Yeah, got a little excited about it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Taysom Hill showing off the skills in Packers camp. Basically... in an article on the Journal Sentinel, which is the local paper out of Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm sorry, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wait a second. What's the one in Appleton?
I don't know. I didn't live in Appleton for several years, like some other people on this podcast.
Anyway, basically, the reporters are very impressed with his athleticism. And that is accounting throwing the ball, but certainly it's the moving around, and they do point out, I thought this was the best part of the article, Eddie Lacy, his best year in college, ran for 1,322 yards and 17 touchdowns. Taysom Hill, in his best year, ran for 1,344 and averaged more yards per carry than Lacy did.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, Lacy went to high school right near my house.
Nobody cares.
Yep, pretty serious. But Taysom Hill is like Liam Neeson in
Taken.
I lost it. Yeah, he's got a very unique set of skills.
Yeah, yes, he does. Well, they showed... Here's the best part. Then they show later on his 45 time, his vertical leap, and broad jump, okay? And it's got all the other skilled position players who were rookies. Jamal is on the list, Aaron Jones, who's a running back, Devontae May is a running back, Malachi Dupree, a wide receiver, and D'Angelo Yancey, a wide receiver. Guess who has the fastest 40 time?
Was it Taysom?
Taysom at 4.45. Faster than any of the other guys. Guess who has the second, I guess, third highest vertical leap at 38 and a half inches, which, by the way, is really good.
It better not also be Taysom.
Taysom, he's third. And then on the broad jump, he is farther down the list on the broad jump. He's the fastest rookie position player.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, he's showing off that, as you said, that what is the phrase?
He's got a very special set of skills.
Special set of skills. And also there's a video of him throwing a fade route into the back of the end zone into a net too.
So yeah, it was a contest among some of the quarterbacks, and he was crushing it.
He was crushing it. Staying with Green Bay, Matt, Jamal is getting first team reps with the Packers. I just want to say this right now. I've been saying this all along. He's going to get the most carries for Green Bay this year. He is. He's the best running back on the roster, my opinion.
That's crazy, right? I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, they just don't have, and they don't have a proven go-to back on the roster. And we've talked about this before. He's not gonna lead the NFL in carries, right? But he may lead the Packers in carries and be mixed around with some other backs. One of my Green Bay friends, he was telling me he was, actually went out to see practice because that's what Packer fans do, and got to see the bike riding, thing they do where the kids come out and the players are riding the bikes, whatever. He said he was blown away by Jamal Williams, like watching the practice that was part of the practice that was public, and he looked really good in pass coverage, pass blocking. So I'm telling you right now, Jamal, big deal.
I think Jamal's going to have a great career in the NFL.
I do too. Speaking of careers in professional football, Cody Hoffman is playing a significant role for the Ottawa Rough Riders.
Matt? Love the CFL mascot names.
Yes, they're fantastic. So he had a couple of catches for 30 yards in their last game. Staying in the Great White North in Canada, former BYU pitcher Taylor Cole was called up by the Toronto Blue Jays. So congratulations, Taylor.
There you go, that a boy.
And I'm sorry you're playing for Toronto.
Aren't we all?
And last but not least in the Cougars in the News, Matt, we have a tweet bag question from Nate Kennedy. That's at N8Rix. I don't know if I'm saying that right, Nate.
Nate Rix? I don't know what he's doing there.
I don't know what he's doing there either.
Oh, sorry. The Natrix. There it is.
The Natrix.
Yeah, I like it, actually.
Good job there, buddy. Matt and Nate, both.
Nate's the one who came up with it. I really can't take all the credit.
I asked what we should talk about tonight. He said Yoli Childs going 2 for 3 from the three-point line in a game with good college players. Matt, and I saw this on Yoli Childs' Twitter feed. He retweeted. He was 6 for 9 from the field, 2 for 3 from the three-point line. This was in the Adidas Nation effort. This was a couple of days ago. But he did hit 2 of 3 three-pointers, Matt. Is this encouraging to you or a fluke?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd call it a fluke, but I'm not falling out of my seat over it either, right? I mean,
no.
It's a performance.
Yes, it's 2 out of 3. I even sometimes hit 2 out of 3 three-pointers.
I don't know that I've ever done that. Well, if I get to pick the three, then yeah.
In your entire life, you have hit 2 3-pointers.
I bet. Yeah, I could come up with 2.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm not sure that's true, but
I was always more of an out of control, no look, turnaround, fade from somewhere just outside the key type of guy.
You're
bounced off the backboard. Yeah. That was basically my go to move.
Yeah, it was unblockable, but it was also not likely to go in.
Never got blocked.
Yeah, you didn't get blocked. because no one would have thought you were doing what you were doing. So, Matt, we have a couple of things to chat about before we talk about fall camp. The first is you.
You know what I love? Talking about you. Me.
Yeah. So last week and then, a month and a half ago or so, we chronicled that you're going to be in the New York City, what is it technically called? The TCS, New York City Marathon?
Yeah, so Tata Consultancy Services is the sponsor. So it's the TCS New York City Marathon, the first weekend in November. And as we've talked about before, I am running, raising money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Have a goal of raising $3,500 to help them fund their programs that support people affected by suicide, people dealing with depression, and educating the public on those related issues. And as we've talked about on the podcast before, this year is the marks 25 years since we lost our brother Mitch to suicide back in 1992 while he was a freshman at BYU. And so this is an exciting opportunity for me to try and do something for people that are in a similar circumstance as we found ourselves in and find ourselves in still. So it's a good opportunity to give back to that. And I started chronicling my running efforts, and I'll be including some updates on the fundraising and also be sharing information from AFSP on a dedicated Instagram feed that's Matt's Running. So I'll be doing that just so that I don't inundate everybody with every single run I go on every single day. But I do appreciate any support, even if people want to come in and just follow me till I get to the end of this marathon and then you can stop. But any support there, I appreciate. And I'm on the hook for my commitment to raise that money either way. So I certainly appreciate, anybody's, ability or willingness to participate in that. And I think we're going to have the link to the page where you can contribute to AFSP. In the show notes, but it's a CrowdRise website, and you can see me and other people as part of our 10-man team aiming to raise just over $30,000 as a group for AFSP.
Yeah, we will have it in the show notes, both the link to your CrowdRise page as well as a link to your Instagram, Matt's Running, right? Matt's Running?
Yeah, Matt's Running.
Matt's Running, so that will be in there as well. You will also find in the show notes the link to our listener survey. We've had 20 responses so far, and we appreciate those that have responded. Matt, people love us. I'm just saying that. I mean, at least the 20 people that answered these questions love us.
Yeah, obviously the people who get after the survey early are they're the ones that like us. But
yes, you know, yes.
We'll see how we do late.
Yes, we'll see how we do late. There may be some people going, oh, well, I better respond to this survey and tilt it a little bit more in the other direction.
Or I listen every single week, but I can't stand you guys.
That would be kind of strange, actually.
I think it's happened before.
We did have somebody, I think he stopped listening, but we did have a listener once who emailed me and said he hadn't missed an episode in 2 years and we were terrible. So I haven't heard from
him. Which is fine. Before. But you know what? That's fine.
Hey, download and don't listen.
But even if you can like us or I mean, I make no pretense that I am not a professional. That's part of my job.
What are you talking about? We're professionals. We've been doing this for like 7 years.
A lot of people go to college for 7 years.
Yeah, they're called doctors. All right, that'll be in the show notes. If you listen to the show through Deseret News, if you found us through there, welcome. We're glad to have you. These will not be in the Deseret News article. Okay? So they will not be in that. You'll need to look for the show notes, all the links to all this. Actually, your stuff will be. But the listener survey, so we don't have a bunch of people, you fans that don't actually listen to the show, go and take the survey. Because if you ever look at the comment section of our articles, almost none of it has to do with these people have not listened to the podcast. They either don't like the headline or they're Ute fans saying, why does the Deseret News have a stupid podcast about BYU? So the listener survey will not be in that. You'll have to go to either iTunes or you can go to ajmangum.podbean.com and you'll find all the links there as well. So, Matt, let's talk about fall football.
Let's do this.
Fall camp, or what should be probably called summer camp, right?
Yeah, but summer camp's already a thing, and it's not this.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. Dave Broderick on Facebook has this for us. He says, more of a face bag comment than face a question. Bag. You shouldn't take vacation during fall camp. How else are we supposed to know how the preseason national championship team is doing?
Attaboy.
That's true, Dave. We should not take vacation.
We should be ashamed of ourselves, Dave.
Well, it was my in-laws that scheduled it, not me. All right.
Oh, that's nice. Just go ahead and throw your in-laws under the bus. I hope they're not listening to the show.
They don't listen to the show.
Okay, good.
They know me too well to listen to the show. So, Matt, we had a couple of follow-ups to our LSU preview, okay? Our brother Don, at DP Mangum on Twitter, has this to say about
you. So ridiculous.
Okay? We know that Matt will have his purple jersey on for the LSU game. Should the rest of us be in Royal or Navy? Matt, I'll give you a chance first to respond to Don's unprovoked attack on your character.
So, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't own a purple jersey. For clarification, I do own an LSU hat.
Yes, you do. I've seen
it. And I paid $2 for it, and I wore it to the beach. And I've worn it to some LSU baseball games. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay? It is what it is. That is the local team where I live, and I enjoy rooting for the local team. But I don't understand this questioning of my loyalty between LSU and BYU. Do I know people who have some type of internal or familial conflict in this fight? Yes, I do. I just don't happen to be one of those people.
Yeah, he's just trying to stir the pot. Don is a pot stirrer.
That's what Don likes to do.
I think
it's Navy for this game, isn't it?
I'm guessing, Matt, that it was Don. But somebody in one of the 20 respondents did say we need more Don on the podcast.
Well, that we all know who that was.
Yeah, we all know who that was. Matt, Andre Hutchins disagrees with you about the Navy. He says, I'll be there in Royal. So that's what Andre said on Twitter, at @AC_Hutchins.
Hutchins is going to be at the game?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
We should do a meetup.
You should do a meetup. He's been listening to the show forever.
Yeah, and Hutchins and I used to have a beef. Hey, Andre, hit me up on Twitter.
That's right, your fake beef.
Yeah, we had a fake beef. Anyway, if you have time, I don't know, maybe you're seeing family or stuff, and I don't know, I'm going to be traveling in from Louisiana or whatever, but hit me up on Twitter. It'd be cool to see. We're thinking about going to the tailgate or something. So
Matt, here's the thing. Navy's dead. Royal is in.
Yeah, Royal's back, baby.
Dude, the coaches don't wear anything but Royal.
It's awesome.
They don't wear any Navy. Like, I see all these videos that, you know, KSL and Cougar, you know, BYU Sports Nation has after practice, you know, in fall camp. And, you know, it's got, you know, Satake and Tuiake and Detmer and, you know, all the Reno Mahe. No, Mahe I did see in some Navy. I'll take that back. But the other coaches are always in Royal Blue. So, Andre, rock the Royal Blue, buddy. Royal, strong and true. All right, Matt. Spencer Lindemann has this to say about the LSU game. That's at the LDS SDL on Twitter. He says, LSU had 8 NFL draft picks, 8 rookie free agents, 10 transfers. Utah had 8 draft picks and 7 departures as well. You know, 15 total graduating or moving to the NFL. Both are installing new offenses. What are the effects versus BYU? Matt, we touched on this a little bit in previewing both of those teams. But to answer Spencer's question, I think what he's leaning towards is both these teams are reloading a lot. How does that affect how things play out against the Cougars?
So I think it creates opportunity, right? Anytime teams are reloading. Now, but these are two programs that reload at different rates. You know, and reload one, I would say probably reloads a little bit quicker than the other. But if you're going to go up against a team like an LSU, you know, you on a year where you feel like there's reloading being done, it's probably the year you want to do it, especially in a neutral site.
Yeah.
But you know,
we,
so I,
as we talked about before, one of those NFL draft picks for LSU is Fournette, and he's being replaced by a running back who's possibly better than him. So,
right. Don't get too excited about that one.
And quite frankly, though, I agree with your premise, and this is no disrespect to the University of Utah. I don't think they have the depth that LSU has. I don't think we're breaking any news by saying that or starting any controversy. I do think, though, they are deep enough that it's not as if we're expecting Utah to take some massive step backwards. Right?
Right.
The installing the new offenses, that one's harder to predict. New offenses sometimes click and run, and sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 games to get it going. And it's hard to say in this case. Neither of the teams have quarterbacks that I look at and start shaking in my boots on. So it may take both these teams a few games, and if our defense is good, could be upset city against LSU. But
and I think we've got a tweet bag question about the way the defense is rated. No,
yes.
So I guess we'll get so we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that, Matt. Next tweet bag question is from Steve. That's at Cougar Tier on Twitter. We hear of the 5 toughest opponents, Matt, and of course LSU and Utah would both be on that list. Who is the 6th, number 6, and why? Talent, place in the schedule, location of the game. So, Matt, I think the consensus 5 are obviously Portland State. I'm just kidding. LSU, Utah, Wisconsin, Boise, Mississippi State, right? Those are the 5.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that.
Okay. The 5 that are cut above everybody else we play. Fair?
Yeah.
Who's 6? What's the 6th toughest game on this schedule?
I'm going to go with Utah State in Logan.
I think you're right. And I think it's a location and a quality of the team thing.
I think it's, and I'd also throw in timing. I mean, you're just coming through the gauntlet of LSU, Utah, Wisconsin, and you've still got Boise State and Mississippi State to worry about. And here come the Aggies.
Who aren't, I mean, we'll see. In the end of September, maybe they're terrible, maybe they're better than we think, right? But yeah, it could be one of those look past it games for sure.
On the road, I mean, yikes.
And it's a rivalry too, right? So there's, you know, some of those guys on Utah State are extra motivated to try to take it to BYU. So
sure.
Anyway, Matt, last set of tweet bag questions before we preview the offense. We're going to preview the offense here in a minute. It's all about Longy. Mo Takai Longy, Matt.
The guy is just a man child.
This is Andre Hutchins again. Nice. That's at @AC_Hutchins says, is it just me or will Mo Longy actually see snaps this year? Or even full series snaps? We're hearing his name more and more. Coaching staff is mentioning it. Reporters are talking about it. There is, of course, a video where he took down one of the running backs. Basically, it looked like he just touched him and the guy just crumpled. So, Matt, the question is this. I have been on the record that I don't think he plays much at all this year, and it may be a couple years before we see him. Does this change how you view Mo Longy's potential role for BYU this year?
Yeah, and there are a couple things that I hear coming out of the Longy situation, right? So we all have watched that video a handful of times and kind of giggled at the running back who got swallowed up by Mo's arm. But the other one was, and I think it was Criddle, I think I saw Criddle tweet this out, that Mo put an unnamed offensive lineman on his back the other day. So, you know, I think that despite the fact that he doesn't really have a helmet that fits, I think that, if these things are true about Mo, I think he could see some action. I mean, I'm not saying the guy turns into, you know, an All-American in 2017, but I think if he shows some flashes like this in practice and shows the ability to just overpower people like that. You know, and I don't know what offensive lineman we're talking about here, right? Or, you know, if it's, you know, who this is, but if he shows some flash and ability to do those kinds of things, I think you put him on the field.
Here's the thing. He is across the nation, not just among BYU fans, getting attention because of his size and the fact that he hasn't played football before. It's a unique story, right? Now, if it was just the press talking, I would say you're nuts, right? Like, the guy's never played football. He just got back off a mission. He's not going to see it down this year, okay? The fact, though, that coaches are... Now, granted, the coaches are reacting to questions, but a couple of times, reading between the lines, it sounds like the coaching staff has brought him up without being specifically asked about him. So I think there's a little bit too much hype around him right now based on, you know, what we know of him. But I think I'm coming around a little bit that he may, you know, like on short yardage situations, I think he may see some downs. I'm going to be shocked if he plays. If he plays a major role, then it's a really big story, right? Like, you know, there's a reason guys struggle who are quite that big to play football at a high level, right? There's a lateral movement issue once you get to a certain size. But we'll see. Matt Todd, that's at Todd and D on Twitter, had this to ask. Anyone else want to see a play run for Mo Longhi on the goal line a la the fridge? I would be Detmer level excited. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag climb on in.
Climb on in, Todd.
So Matt, would you want to see Mo Longhi get the football in a goal line situation?
Would I want to see Mo Longhi get the football in a goal line situation? Heck yeah.
Are you an American? Absolutely.
I mean, what's wrong with you? Do you not watch football? You don't want to see a 410-pound, fully grown man run the football up the gut? What's wrong with you? A guy who played a little bit of rugby? We've seen videos of him running. I mean, if he gets a head of steam behind him, you line him up 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You get him a good running head start. He's going to kill somebody.
Are there any other kind of 410-pounders? Are there? You call him a full-grown man, 410-pounder? Are there other kinds of?
Listen,
are there?
Okay, listen. There's two. 410 pounds, maybe not. But let's just be real here for a second, okay? On any high school football team, you got two kinds of really big guys.
Okay.
You got the ones that you put pads and a jersey on, and you have them trot out near the front of the line when you come out to do your warm-ups in order to make the other team nervous about the size you have on your team, right? And then they never see the field. They hold a helmet, they hand out water bottles, because all they can do is stand up. They can't hit anybody. Okay? Then there's another kind of really big guy, and those are the guys that you do all that with, and then they also crush some kids.
Right.
If Mo is in that latter category, I think he, I mean, then yeah, he's a fully grown man.
Yeah, he is definitely
the former category. That's not a full grown man. Okay, that's just a big guy.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, I see your definition.
Somebody who's he's a full grown man. I'm not saying he's going to be an All American or whatever in 2017, but he's a big guy. He's got some athleticism.
Yeah, we've all seen the video of him running in full proselyting gear. So,
who hasn't done that?
I don't know. Probably
the phrase "run for your life" comes to mind.
Yes. As they said, you don't have to outrun the dog; you only have to outrun your companion. So Matt, if listeners out there want to join the tweet bag, if they want to climb on in, hashtag
climb on in.
You can do that on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. You can do it on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. And then you can do it old snail mail, riseandshoutpod, one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, now it's time to preview the offense. All right?
And this is for real this time, everybody. This is not a drill.
This is not
a
drill.
We're really doing this right
now. We are previewing the offense. In a little bit, we're going to do some over-unders and some predictions. And we've got several requests in the past and also in the listener survey to please document our predictions so that we can be told how wrong we are later.
So these are people that clearly don't like us.
Because
they want to point out to us that our predictions are all over the map, not even consistent from week to week, and still wrong.
I'm not going to say that. That seems a little dire. But to be fair, we actually did this last year. Okay? We did this last year. So I just want to say we did an over-under for 2015, for 2016, and we came back at the end of the year and actually documented that. So I just want to say that, okay? We did that. And by the way, we did all right. We did all right. That's all I'm going to say.
Of course we did.
Okay, so Matt, we'll get to that here in a second. Let's look at we're going to talk about the offense here in a sec in detail. But one of the things, the narrative has been, we've got a potential top 30 offense, and we've got a top 30 defense, and an offense that might not be top 50, right? Maybe if you look at some of the analytics, the predictions are maybe even worse than that, okay? But according to the coaching staff and head coach Salani Sitake. Gosh,
you're struggling there.
I'm struggling. With Coach Sitake, is the offense outplayed the defense in Saturday's closed scrimmage? Matt, do you think that's hyperbole to pump up the offense, or do you think it's possible that the offense outplayed the defense Saturday in the closed scrimmage?
You know, I don't think it's hyperbole to pump up the offense. I think it's hyperbole to pump up the defense. I think the defense has got a lot of guys coming back. I think the defense has a lot of reason to be confident. We're going to come back to this in just a little bit, in the way that people outside the program are evaluating them. And I think Sitake is trying to send a message that these guys, they may not be as good as they're starting to think they are.
Yeah, and that's certainly fair. I think if you look at, you know, what's going on with the offense, it's really hard to judge the offense because there's so much turnover, and your best two offensive players, Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams, left. So to me, it's really hard to judge the offense, right?
Right.
The defense, as you said, are having a lot, a lot more returning players, and I think it will be very, very different. But we'll see. Matt, does this make you worry about the defense?
Nope.
You have no worries.
No, it's scrimmaging, and it's in some of these scrimmages that the defense is at a disadvantage anyway. You can't, you don't want to hit. You're not trying to hurt anybody. You can't hit the quarterback. I mean, there's just, I think as a defense, you're a hamstrung a little bit in these types of situations. So this doesn't, I don't feel like this gives me any information that makes me want to panic about the defense.
Yeah. So I completely agree with you. I'm not worried about the defense at all. So, and we'll preview the defense next week, but let's stick to the offense today. Matt, Sean Ritchie, that's at DrTed64 on Twitter, asked this: what should be realistic expectations for the offense? Is 5,000 yards passing too low? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag BYU fall camp national champs. 5,000 seems to be a little high.
It seems to be a little bit high, right? But if you go back and look at some historical performances from quarterbacks, I mean, it's not crazy.
It is crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, you're right.
It's insane. Yes, we have Ty Detmer threw for 5,000 yards once. And, you know, McMahon, Detmer, Bosco, Detmer, and Sarkisian all threw for 4,000 yards. But the last time we had a quarterback put together one of those kind of seasons was Max Hall in 2008.
Right.
3,900 yards, 35 touchdowns, 8.3 yards per attempt. We haven't reached that or anywhere close to it since. But obviously, Dr. Ted Sean was joking, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. But
so we'll get to predictions here in a minute, Sean.
It'd be sweet, though.
So Matt, Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter, says this: how has fall camp reports affected your outlook? I'm not really, he says, I'm now not concerned about, he clarified it later with another tweet, so I'll just edit. He's concerned about running back, but he thinks Mangum, wide receivers, and tight ends will be fine. So, Matt, let's jump into the positions, okay? Go position by position. What are realistic expectations for Tanner Mangum this year?
I think Tanner Mangum throws for somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 yards.
Oh, way to be specific, bud. Really? What? Between 3,000 and 4,000? Come on!
3,623 yards.
There you go. That's what I like. So, in his freshman year, he threw for 3,377 yards, 23 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Okay? I think we've all got to assume, with this different offense and everything else, he does better than that this year. Right? Statistically. Yeah. So I think that's the baseline. The question is, what is the ceiling? Is the ceiling 4,000 yards?
I think you go with what Michael Jordan said here, and the ceiling is the roof. I think the ceiling is probably in that 4,000-yard range, which is why I had provided that range just a moment ago.
Yes.
But I really do think that's the ceiling. Do I think that Tanner Mangum's going to put together a season here that's going to be like a top 20 QB performance in BYU history? Probably not. But do I think it's going to be a very good? Do I think it'll be a notable performance? Do I think it'll be good enough to win us some games, maybe even put us in position to win a game that we aren't expected to? Yeah, absolutely. But this isn't a Tanner Mangum Heisman campaign, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'm not hearing a lot of that out of fans on Twitter and Cougar Board and different things. I'm not hearing a lot of that kind of hype, right? I think
people are being pretty realistic.
I think part of it has to do with the players around him and people not quite being sure if he's got enough weapons. Right? And I think that's kind of the question is, are the running backs good enough? Are the wide receivers and pass catchers good enough? We all believe in his talent. The other piece is, what is this offense really going to look like now that it's not a Taysom Hill offense? Right? And we don't really know the answer to that question.
Right.
But I'm with you. I wouldn't expect a top 10 season this year. Now, if we get one, well, we could be looking at a pretty special season for the Cougars if he plays at that level. But
right.
Backups, Matt. How big of a drop-off between Tanner and whoever ends up being named the backup? Are we talking like, Ty Detmer to Jake Heaps type of drop-off?
Oh, boy, I hope not.
No, we are not. I don't think we're taking about that. And we're going to get a few people say, hey, Jake Heaps had a great freshman year. No, he didn't.
So I don't know that it's as good as the Taysom Hill to Tanner Mangum still comes in and throws the Hail Mary pass to beat Nebraska type of drop-off. I don't think it's that close.
So is our Bo or little Mr. Detmer, are they 50% the quarterback he is? 70%? 80%?
I think Bo is probably like 60-70%. And then you got everybody else somewhere a little less than that.
I'd say that's fair. And again, it's really hard with backups because we have so little data to judge any of these guys on the roster besides Mangum. I mean, he's got a bunch of games and the other guys have mop-up duty.
Right, no meaningful tape, really.
Yeah. And we are hearing good things out of Bo, Hodge, and Camp for whatever that means. I don't know how much that means, but we're hearing some things. All right, Matt, running backs. Let's talk about running backs, and we'll get to our predictions here in a bit. Or do you want to do over-under on the quarterbacks now, or wait? Let's wait. We'll do them all together.
All right, let's do them all together.
We'll do them all together. Right now, according to a friend of the podcast, Jay Drew in the Salt Lake Tribune, and according to the coaching staff, it's Squally Canada and Riley Burt, 1 and 2 on the depth chart. Surprise?
A little bit.
What did you, were you expecting to see Burt, the number two guy?
No.
I was not either. I thought Canada would be in that group. But I think Tuilutau maybe.
Yeah, I kind of was thinking it'd be Canada and Tuilutau.
And Fonua was also mentioned by Kalani Sitake as well. So, you know, no real mention of some of the other guys, at least from this past weekend. But if it's Cannon and Burt, I mean, that's not a those aren't two really big guys. You know, but maybe that's a sign of what they're going to do. I mean, we talked about this previously this summer about what they're going to do with putting running backs into the passing game.
Maybe that's what these guys are bringing to the table.
Yeah, I don't know. We shall see. And obviously, nothing set till Portland State and see how they do. So, Matt, your level of confidence in the running backs, are you from a 1 to 10, where 10 is, you know, Jamal Williams, and a 1 is not Jamal Williams? How confident are you in these running backs, this group?
This sounds like a cop out, but I'm going to go with a 5. I'm not near Jamal Williams, but I think Canada's serviceable, and you know, and I'm excited enough about Toletau to believe that if he's not making the break as the top one or two guys, then we have reason to feel comfortable with Canada and Burt.
So I agree.
So I can get comfortable that they're going to be okay. I don't worry that they're going to be a disaster. I don't know that we've seen enough of Canada to really have feelings on him, right? I mean, you know, until you're consistently getting the carries and all this, I think it's hard to tell what you've got with somebody like him. So, but we're about to find out, right? But do I worry that the guy's a total disaster? No. Do I think he's Ronnie Jenkins? You know, do I think he's Harvey Unga? No, I don't. Do I think he's Jamal Williams? No. Well, obviously not.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now let's switch to wide receivers. Inexperienced group, Treneman's the leader, if you will. Great start last year, 6 passes, and then caught 6, and then he finishes the year with only 28 catches, okay? Treneman claims on BYU Sports Nation, he said he ran a 4.32 40, which, by the way, is a lot. It's very fast. You know, so the question, Matt, with Treneman is this the key, Tanner's arm strength combined with Treneman, is this his year?
Is this Treneman's year?
Yeah, is this Treneman's year? Now you've got a quarterback. We all know Taysom Hill was not a good deep thrower. I mean, I think that even huge Taysom defenders like myself can say no. That was never his strength, throwing a deep ball. Tanner has a penchant for throwing a very good deep ball, right? So Matt, I mean, is this Treneman? You know, maybe he doesn't lead the team in number of catches, but is he potentially the most important wide receiver and stretching the field and changing the way teams have to defend us?
I'll say this. I think this is, you know, as far as chances go, Treneman has saved the best for last. You know, this is the best shot he's going to get out of all 4 years of his eligibility, I guess I should say, to prove that he's that guy. Right? You got a quarterback who I think can throw the deep ball. And you know, there's word that there's enough chemistry with some of these other guys that, you know, the people are going to have to take the rest of the wide receivers seriously. You hear good things about Talon Shumway,
yep.
And some, you know, I think you have reason to feel good about, you know, Hypho and some of these other guys. So I think that if Treneman's going to be that guy, he has all the room to try and prove that in 2017.
Yeah, for sure. And the other people to watch, of course, you mentioned Talon Shumway, who I think has an outside shot of leading the team in catches. I'm not predicting that, but I think he's got a possibility. 6'3", 205, big guy. Micah Simon, obviously, Akili Davis. Hypho, who, you know, appeared in all games last year, but, you know, and was even listed as a starter last fall, and ended up with 11 catches for 58 yards. I'm not sure what to make of Hefo. Hopefully that turns around. But Matt, after I asked you that question about the running backs, 1 to 10 comfort level with the wide receivers.
Yeah, it's like a 4.
It's kind of how I feel. Maybe it's a little higher than that because I really think Trenerman has a breakout year, and we'll get to the predictions here in a bit. But I may give.
Yeah,
it a
but
5.
If he's all, but what if it turns out that all you've got is Trenerman?
I think you have more than that. But if all you have is Trenerman, it's not good. We need some possession wide receivers. We need Hefo and or Simon and others to be able to, like we talked about a few weeks ago, we need somebody that's going to make catches on 3rd and 6. You know, and if it's the tight ends, maybe, and we'll get to the tight ends here in a second, but we're going to need somebody besides Trenerman.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You're definitely right there. Tight ends, Matt. Obviously, this is one where some of the headlines and some of the comments by reporters are something like, no, this year we promise we're really going to use the tight end.
Yeah.
Matt, do you believe that this is actually the year the tight end becomes important again at BYU?
I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I'll believe it when I see it. Do I feel good about it? Yeah. You know, I think between MLP and Matt Bushman, I think we may have a tight end on our hands. But I'm not buying into this is becoming a regular part of the offense until it becomes a regular part of the offense. I'm not going to get my hopes up.
Yeah, so Tanner Baldery led tight ends last year with 13 catches for 156 yards. Okay, so, now technically people say, well, wait a second. You know, Marona had 27 catches. Well, he wasn't playing tight end last year. So between MLP and Bushman, I agree with you. I think there's definitely a possibility here of getting something going on. I think, Matt, I am more comfortable with the tight ends than I am the wide receivers. Is that insane?
Yeah, that's crazy talk, really. I think that it is crazy talk.
I think I'm more comfortable. I think this is actually, I totally disagree with you about the believe it when I see it. That's usually like how I feel about things. I think they are going to, tight ends are not as useful in an offense when your quarterback's a running back, like Taysom Hill was, right? Because a lot of the times you would use a tight end, you don't need the tight end because quite frankly, he would actually clog up the running lanes, right? Because if he's doing that 5 yard and out with a linebacker, now all of a sudden Taysom's got to beat that linebacker, right? Instead of if you do 4 or 5 wide receivers and send them on deeper patterns, you open up those running lanes. You're not going to have that with Tanner. You're going to have those tight end routes, and you've got guys that can run them. So I am like a 6 on the tight ends comfort level. I wanted to say 7, but I pulled it back. How about you?
Wow, look at you go.
I'm awesome.
I think I could get to a 6 just because I think that in there is at least one tight end who is a real tight end, and we just got to figure out who it is. So I'm willing to go with a 6 here just for that reason.
You just said I was crazy, and now you're agreeing with me. So are you crazy too?
Yeah, well, I think you're. No, I don't think your number's crazy. I think you jumping on board with this is the year of the tight end is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. So Matt, the offensive line. KSL had a story about how they are shaping up to be a physical bunch. And this, of course, is what Satake and other coaches have been talking about since the day they were hired. That this was going to be a physical group that pushes people around and punishes people. Matt, are you buying that, or is that, fall camp hype?
Oh, I'm buying that.
Yeah, I'm buying it too.
I'm all in on that. I'm all over that.
So we look at the tackles, Matt. We've obviously got Schoaf, who was a big recruit. We've got Kiefer Longson, at 6'7", 321, we talked about being a real man. That's a real man right there. That's a big dude. And then you've got Hoyt, John Vaca, and a few others that'll be on there as well. Center, obviously, it's Karoma, right?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, Captain and four and biceps that will blow your mind.
Yeah, and Karoma might. It's possible that Karoma is the best player on the BYU offense. Is that crazy to say that? I don't think it is.
It is pretty awesome, though.
It's no disrespect to Tanner at all. I just think Karoma is that good. And according to PFF College Football, their Twitter account, they rated the Karoma as the second best returning center after Frank Ragnow at Arkansas. So I think he is that good. I think he could win, depending on how well we do and how well he does. I think he could win All-American honors. He's that good.
Yep.
Guards, Matt, obviously Kanuch, it will be the one that, 16 starts under his belt, played in 37 games. He's a beast, very physical guy. Norman, and then you got a bunch of other guys, Herring, Finau, Chambers, and a few others, that and Tristan Hodge as well. So there's a lot of, a lot of other guys. Hodge probably sits out this year. I don't remember if his waiver has been, if we've heard news on his waiver to play, but typically he probably won't get that. But anyway, Matt, 1 to 10 on this group. How are you feeling?
I'm like a 9 on the offensive line. I mean, look at
me
this.
Me too.
You're right. You got Longson, who shows real promise. Shove sliding over to left tackle. Karoma, one of the best returning centers in the country. Kanuch, who's kind of a madman. I think there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of stuff to be excited about on the offensive line. I think this is one of our strongest units on the team.
So Jay Drew in the Salt Lake Tribune had an article about Shove not gaining weight. Okay. That he's been, adding the calories, but he's still sitting at 275 and was trying to get up more to that 285 to 300 pound range. Matt, does that worry you that our potential projected starting left tackle is at a relatively light 275 pounds?
Not necessarily. I think there's a lot to be said for good technique and solid upper body strength. And if you can get the job, I think it's possible to get the job done there at 275 pounds. It might be a little bit of a tall order, but I think that if this were just about size, you take a guy like Longson, maybe not right away, but you swap him out and you put him over at left tackle. 6'7", 321, a 4-star prospect who was recruited by a bunch of big name programs. If they were really that worried about Shove's ability to do it at 275, they'd be looking to do something like that. And that's what you'd hear people talking about, is they're trying to convert Longson to the left tackle spot. I don't hear anybody saying that. And I think this is a coaching staff on the offensive line that knows what they're doing. So I'm willing to trust him on playing Shove at 275.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he Shove was quoted in the article by Jay Drew talking about that he wanted to get bigger. I agree with you. I think if this was a true issue, that the coaching staff would be moving him around. Now, am I going to be shocked if they end up shuffling a little bit on the offensive line as the season goes on? No, that's pretty typical, right?
Yeah, look that's how Shove ended up at the left tackle slot in the first place, right? Yeah. So,
does he play his entire career at tackle? I don't know, right? Like, there's a lot of things that can happen and change, but I expect to see him protecting Tanner's blind side from the get-go, right? So yeah,
you just got to, sometimes it's just something that happens over a matter of time. I think Longson's probably the left tackle of the future, though.
Well, I'll tell you this, a lot of times, I mean, offensive line play is not sexy, right? It's not quarterback play, it's not running backs, it's not the worst thing in the world if the best part of your offense is your O-line.
Oh, no.
It's not the worst thing. Okay.
Yeah. Worst single positions to have that are the best part of your offense is like a tight end.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right? That's not good. But if your best unit's your offensive line, you're going to move the football.
Yeah. It will make up for a lot of other ills that you might have on your offense. So Matt, Nicholas Nelson on Facebook asked us this question before we get to our predictions. Looking at the non-fan previews, it looks like our defense will be pretty good, while the offense is projected to be much worse. For example, friend of the podcast, Bill Connolly's projections have the D projected at 23rd in the country, while the offense is projected at 83rd. Nicholas says, I feel like among BYU fans, the expectations are much lower for the defense and higher for the offense. Who is right?
So I don't know if I'd say either is right. I think what you're seeing is, you know, national writers rely a lot of this. They lean really hard on graduated players, returning starters, returning statistics, you know, returning yards and all this. And the loss of Jamal Williams really hurts us there. You know, we graduated a couple of guys, including a left tackle. You know, that stuff factors into some of these evaluations that are done on a national level, right? Because they got to do a bunch of different teams, so they go to those kind of numbers. As BYU fans, I think we dig a little bit deeper. We know who Schoaf is, right? We know a little bit about Squally Canada, and so that's kind of the offensive side of the ball. And everybody's in love with Tanner Mangum, right? And on the flip side of that, I think that as BYU fans over the last several years, we're kind of conditioned to think certain things about the defense and to think things and have feelings about defensive backfields and abilities to do certain things that I think in this case may not be true. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think that the outside world is able to look at our defense and say, look, they've got some returning starters. They've got some talented players here. I think they're going to do really well. They're going to be a little bit different than some of the defenses we've seen the past couple of years. And on offense, they see something like the loss of Jamal Williams, and that takes a heavy toll on the way they're going to evaluate the potential success of the offense. I think that's offset, but in the fans' eyes, by the presence of Tanner Mangum.
And analytically, it would be insane, quite frankly, to think this offense is going to get better, just objectively, right? Like you said, there could be reasons why it could be better. But you got to think it's going to be worse than last year after you lose your quarterback, one of the best running backs in school history, your top couple, like three pass catchers, right? And a key offensive lineman. I think you look at that and you have to think this defense, this offense will take a step back. So I totally agree with your assessment, Matt, which of course pains me to agree with you so much today, but I think Connolly and his group is more, and those national writers are probably closer to what we will actually see this year. I think the defense will be better than what fans expect. I think the offense will be better than what some of the national prognosticators are saying, but I think that the ceiling is probably, you know, as good as we were last year. I think that's the realistic, that's probably the wrong word, not the ceiling, but the realistic expectation is a little worse than last year, right? Maybe not substantially worse, not 83rd in the country, but maybe 65th, right? And I think that's okay if the defense ends up being a top 25 defense. You can still win a lot of games with that formula. Where this becomes a special season is if the defense is that good and the offense ends up being a top 40 offense. Because right. Then you can, in theory, on any given day, beat anybody, right? It doesn't mean you will, but you certainly could be in all games. All right, Matt, you ready to predict some stuff?
Let's do it. Let's make some predictions.
All right, Matt, let's start with Tanner. All right, you ready?
All right, what do we got?
Over under 3,650 passing yards.
3,650. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over because I'm right and you're a pansy. Matt, over under 29 touchdown passes for Tanner.
Ooh. 29 touchdown passes?
Yes, just passes.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go under, but I think it's close. I think it's close on that one. Matt, let's look at the overall on the offense. Okay, so last year in 2016, the offense averaged not very good, 6.3 yards per play total. Okay, sorry, not per play. That was on passing downs, 6.3 yards per attempt. Okay, which is not good. When it was, you know, mid sevens when Tanner was the quarterback his freshman year, Matt, over under yards per attempt at 7.8.
I'm going to go with over.
I'm going to go with over, but not a ton. I don't think this is a record-breaking type of offense.
Yeah, but that's a good line right there.
Last year, the offense had total yards, Matt, had 5,176 yards. Over under total yards for the offense, 5,000.
I'm going to go with over.
I'm going to go with over as well, but barely. Okay.
Yeah, that one's close.
That will be close. Matt, last year, the offense yards per carry on was yards per carry for the running game was 5.33 yards per carry. Obviously, a very good running team. Over under 4.75 yards per carry.
What was the number last year?
The last year was 5.3.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well, but not by a lot.
Yeah, but that's close, and I'd have to, I'm looking at these numbers, and I'd want to do a little bit of math. But
2012, and see if all this makes sense, right? 2012, we were under, for example. 2014, when 2015, it was 4.92, 4.86. 2013 was that unreal year where Jamal and Taysom ran all over, and it was almost 6 yards per carry running. And I add that in, by the way, if you're looking at national stats, I'm looking at my own stats where I take sacks and put them into passing yards, okay? So if you're looking at like Cougar stats, don't say, Mangum, your numbers are wrong. They're not wrong. I think counting sacks on rushing is stupid. So let me see. Did we have any more over-unders? Matt, leading receiver this year. Who has the most catches? We'll make it easy.
MLP.
MLP. I'm going to say Treneman. That's going to be my prediction. Which, by the way, that was my prediction last year.
And I've even flip-flopped on MLP versus Bushman in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Bushman. He's not going to be the leading wide receiver. Don't be silly. The leading rusher. Who has the most rushing yards for the Cougars?
You know, I flip-flopped on this one, too, and I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm going to go with Squally Canada.
Dang it. I'm also going to go with Squally Canada.
Ah, this is great.
It's not as much fun.
You're just copying all my answers.
Matt, percent chance this is a special offense.
Well, you got to define special for me.
Okay. Top 10 offense in BYU history.
Oh.
5%? 10%?
I was going to say 10.
I'm going to say like 5. I think I want to be higher because of Tanner, but I just look at the weapons around him and I wonder if anybody else is elite. And anytime our top offenses, if you look historically, there's always been an elite quarterback for sure, but there's also always been a couple of elite position players. Now, the offensive line is the one pause there because some of our best offenses, if not all of them, had great offensive lines. And we may have a great offensive line this year. So that's my one pause. But I don't think it's high. So anyway, what were you going to say? I cut you off as usual.
No, it's the same thing. I didn't see anything that we don't know that we have anybody elite at any position.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I think we all feel good about Tanner, but we don't know what we've got at some of these other key spots.
Yeah. Matt, here's another one. I'm going to throw this one out. This is just like crazy. I'm just going to throw it out. Okay. We said quality Canada will be the leading rusher. Over under that the leading rusher has 750 yards.
That was exactly the. I'm going to go with under.
I'm going to go with over. I say he gets like 780.
I think it's going to be like 720, 730.
It'll be interesting to see. And what's going to be really funny is if all of this stuff ends up, ends up going where we have somebody else leading them, or, you know, and I've flip-flopped, right? Because a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, I said that the leading rusher would actually be Tolotau.
Right.
That he wouldn't start the year, but he would be the leading rusher. But the word out of camp, I think it's Canada. I think Canada's the guy. Speed, combo, speed and power. And we'll see. And maybe Tula Tau's time is 2018. I don't know. We shall see. Well, Matt, this has been a podcast. We previewed the offense.
There we go.
Next week, we will preview the defense. And we will, once again, predict every game in some unrealistic and ever-changing stream of predictions.
It's going to be great.
It'll be awesome. We'll be recording over the weekend, so if you are interested, of course, there will be requests for TweetBag questions across all of the different media streams, so check that out. Again, reminder, support Matt's efforts in the New York City Marathon, what's the sponsor?
It's fine. Just say New York City Marathon. Right.
New York
it's
City okay. Marathon. That'll be in the show notes where you can go support a great cause with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Also, take our listener survey. That will also be in the show notes. Go. We'd love to hear your feedback and love to hear from you. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Go to DeseretNews.com/podcast to find this and other great shows, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!